Welcome to Situations and Solutions. I'm your host, Pastor Holden.
And I'm your co-host, Minister Greg.
Minister Gray's got the real life situations.
Pastor Holden's got out of this world solutions.
Chill!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, indeed.
What's going on, brother?
What's happening, sir? Good to see you. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you.
We are here for another session. You know what? Everyone knows what time it is.
What time is it?
Word time.
Word time.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yep. A fire sermon. Great theology, word teaching, all of that, and then some. So, on the replay if you haven't picked it up yet. But
on the replay.
On the replay, yes. But here with the good Reverend Dr. David Holder.
What's we up, are Pastor here. Greg.
What's going on, brother? We are here. One of my favorite letters, 1 Corinthians. There's just so much good stuff here. And if you've been journeying with us, you know that we've been moving through Paul's letters, journeying with Paul, and in the last couple of weeks, as we learn more about the New Testament and knowing the New Testament. But 1 Corinthians, man, it just it kind of sets a tone, right? Mm-hmm. It puts you where Paul is thinking and mm-hmm. how he's reaching people who are all kind of having different experiences, right? In this amalgamation of Corinth, right? And I think one of the things I loved about your sermon is culturally you put us in that place of understanding the divisions inside the divisions, right? And so Paul's addressing believers, but he's who have gotten caught up, right, in, you know, in some of the religiosity, I guess, of mm-hmm. understanding this mm-hmm. newer faith to them. But mm-hmm. in the context of a whole divided society under paganism, right? So there's all these other elements that are going on. And so inside a divisive or a separated, divided society, there is this division that is kind of somewhat, mimicking is probably the right word, of drawing some semblance of separation, right? And so this is more of a side society, right, in Corinth that is being built or thriving on different customs, traditions, different right. ways of living in. And what I love about what Paul does is he brings us right to the cross, and he brings us right to the cross of Christ, and he sets the tone for all believers in that moment, in that time, but for all believers throughout the annals of time.
Mm-hmm.
We understand what the calling of our life is and who God is, because we have a clear understanding of God's love in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, that is the title of the sermon that we was delivered. And I love the way you said it, you know, you set this up, man. So if you want to jump, you know, right into that context even more, that'd be dope.
Yeah,
because I thought it was fire when we got it on Sunday.
So the situation is divisions, right? Paul, really quickly, and that's the situation when there's divisions. What do you do, right? Mm-hmm. So, if you've got to, as we've been doing, kind of locate the letter, mm-hmm. and you see there are 26 different temples
mm-hmm.
in Corinth. Corinth is, you know, a city full of gods, mm-hmm. just like Athens was when Paul was there, and he went to the center of the city and saw all these idols that were to all these different gods, except for the one true God, mm-hmm. which was the unknown God that they made sure they covered everything, so they had one statue that said to an unknown God, and he said, "Let's tell you who this unknown God is." So, same in Corinth, you know, this really bustling, traveling, trade, really infested a city with people from different places, from North Africa, from far off places, as well as in this region of the world, who are trading. And so you have all these religions, and you have the Roman Empire, who rebuilt Corinth in 44 BC. So you have the Roman colonization of Corinth, which is part of Greece. So you have the Roman gods coming in, including their own imperial god, where you worship the emperor,
along
with the Grecian gods. So you have Venus, you got Poseidon,
Aphrodite.
Yeah, you've got everything, and then you have a Jewish synagogue, and these people, these temples were set up where people had communal meals together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. And they were based on interest, definitely on trading, because it was a very economically moving city. And so they'd get together to talk business and to be in social settings that fit their economic status. So you had these divisions going on. So people would eat together that were of the same socioeconomic ilk. And no wonder the church had the same problems or the same separations or the same divisions, because the world was doing it. And, the church often, church culture throughout the years and across the world often mimics secular culture, outside culture, outside religious culture. And so it is simply a subculture of the greater culture. And that's part and parcel our problem and challenge as the body of Christ.
Is
mimicking the world, the bad stuff about the world.
Right.
And calling it, our culture.
Right.
When Christ calls us to a different culture inside the body of Christ.
So right. No, I mean, and I think you articulated that right on. It just brings out this I guess contemporary connection to kind of like the seeker friendly environments where you walk sometimes you walk into some places and you're like, how is this any different
than
any other place? And so some I guess congregations and churches that seen and have gone so far to being attractive to kind of worldly traditions that they have adopted these worldly kind of ideals, traditions, and cultures. And so what I loved about the scripture and the sermon is that you brought that to light, because you can make the connection and see how that becomes the issue there and also becomes our issue today.
Right.
The gospel is the message, right, of the love of Christ.
Right.
If that is not at the essence of what we're sharing and communicating, then we're not evangelizing. We're not reaching people.
Right.
We're not discipling. We're doing something else. And Paul is saying, this is what Paul is saying. What you guys think you're doing, you're not doing. You're doing something different. And because you have the lack of this foundational truth, then the things that are attached to it that you're grabbing have less of significance. They're more practical. They're more for practice than is for growth and like growing in your relationship with God and knowing God.
Right.
And love becomes the centerpiece of seeing that.
Right.
Right. Like even as we talk about the meal, right. And just the economic kind of climate around that, right? Just poor eating with the poor and the rich, the people well off are eating at different times, and people using hierarchical kind of power, society stuff. It's all societal stuff that has invaded.
Church. And you have to go through. So Paul, what he does, if you look at First Corinthians, this first letter that we have, because it's actually the second.
Second, right.
In our Bible, right? So you have to get through all the mess, right?
Yeah.
Of society, all the really the layers of society, you've got to move those aside in order to get to the issue of how to, I mean, in order to get to the solution or to explain the solution that solves the situation, and that's the vision. So you have to get through the layers of this society and culture. And Paul does that, at least the way I see it, the way Paul does that is he really deals with some issues, a lot of different issues, from mentioned a man sleeping with his father's wife, and talking about idols, and should you should you eat food sacrificed to idols, the morality. He gets into marriage, he gets into this, gets into that, and so he's going through all these issues because they're dealing with these issues because they've been secularized. He's been gone 2.5 years, and the culture really gets to you, as you know, can get to you without proper leadership in your life, discipleship. And so that's why he's writing this letter. And he begins to talk about these issues, but you can see from chapter one, he really focuses on this Christ-centered theology, this Christ-centered, you know, love, and says, which is about the crucified Christ. And that's when he talks about, like, to the, you know, that, you know, the message of the cross is foolishness,
right?
Perishing, right? It's foolishness, and it's, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. So it gets into to that foolishness to the Greeks, right? And anyway, it just makes me think of that.
I mean, so he's actually restoring what true wisdom looks like, right? Because I think all these, you know, he speaks to it's a stumbling block to the Jews, a foolishness to the Greeks, right? He gets into that, but then he's showing that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So it's centering everyone's life in the belief of this one God, true God, right? And how that then informs the rest of our relationship with God, but also our relationships with one another, right? Because if the issue is division, then there's all these interpretations then that are staring people to, like you said, being kind of acculturated to, like, one doing one custom over another custom, and bringing and losing sight of, like, what's pleasing to God,
right?
It's you know, as we talked about it before, it's like he starts with the foundation, right, of the gospel message, but then he peels back all these kind of these issues that have now become, you know, these I guess, you know, real kind of staple, or, you know, primary issues that the church is dealing with and causing conflict. And he kind of addresses them. So it's very kind of like, present the issue, deal with it. Hold the, you know, here's this issue in view of the gospel. Here's this issue in view of what God is called. Here's the issue in view of love. He almost sizes them up that way until we get to later in the chapter.
So it's interesting. It's interesting because, like, I think about, like, counseling and how you give people direction. And sometimes you try to go to the crux of the issue.
Right.
And however, there's this method that Paul really uses. I don't know how strategic he decided to be when he wrote it, but it's powerful. Because, like, he kind of pushes these issues aside. I mean, like, give solutions to them, you know,
right?
Word-centered, Bible-centered, right? First Bible, right? He's writing the Bible right now. So, but, you know, really great answers to the situations they're going through, and the questions they have, and the wrongs that they've committed, and said, here's the solutions. And then he gets to a point where he says, now I'm going to show you the most excellent way.
Right.
And if you take that just to be chapter 12, verse 31, And that's just that part of the book. I think you might miss the letter. You might miss it because I think it's the whole.
Yeah.
Of the letter, because he's really kind of setting things up where he's solving situations or giving them answers to it, solutions. And then he talks about organization, really, of the church.
Mm-hmm. Talks right. About the body.
Spiritual gifts and how you should use them. Everybody's valued the same. And the body is made up of many parts, but we're one body and we've got to work together and, you know, hand in the foot and everyone's valuable and should be in esteem the same. And basically saying all that's good and that's important, but that's still not enough. There's more.
Right. And he gives these, I think you called it practical theology, right? Like, and he uses the first person, like, you know, in first person. So if I did this, like he's making it plain for people to see what love is, how love is lived out, right? In their faith in their faithful relationship to God, but also in community, right? Like there's this emphasis on practical examples of like, okay, well, if this is like he says, if I speak in tongues, right, but do not have love, I'm a resounding, you know, gong. And so it shows you, absent of love, this is what something looks like, but with love, this is what it actually means. And so it's like you have the foundation rooted in love in Christ, but this is what it means in your life, in your everyday examples with one another. And he goes in, and then he goes in that to that point of love kills the divisions, right? Mm-hmm. Love refocuses everybody, reorients everybody's, you know, whatever they have, it moves everything out the way and puts itself right at the centerpiece of the back to the foundation of our relationship with Christ, right? Like it sets people back in proper order. I think we should pause there because as we get into love, we kind of talk about how, I think you said something that was so profound about, you know, we've gotten, you know, hope, faith, and love in the other letters, but then there's this importance of understanding why we finish with love and why love becomes the greatest of all of these three things.
Yeah. And Romans 5:5, Paul says God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Who has been given to us. And I think as we go into a break, understanding that when we get to the solution of love, it's God's love. Amen. And this, we can talk about that, but God's love is gotten through the pouring out, right?
The Holy Spirit,
through the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And so we get this love from God. And so not only do we, when we talked about in the book of John, baptism was a baptism of repentance. Baptism was a baptism, right? Of the Holy Spirit.
Right?
Baptism of forgiveness. Yes. Forgiveness, he's forgiven. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes with fire, right? Comes with power.
Power, right?
But not only does it come with power, we learn here that it comes with the love of God.
Love
has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the love of God in Christ Jesus in us. So we have the solution that has been given to us. So we could pause right there. You want to say something?
Because that's so important. I'm glad you said that, because without that understanding, then it puts love under an interpretive, you know, cultural kind of understanding that is already causing the divisions that exist in this church.
Right.
But it's imparted by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah, that is this, in essence, the core of where we're going. Yeah, no, that's dope.
Cool.
We can pause right there. Yep.
Let's take a break and we'll be back after these messages.
This podcast is sponsored by New York Covenant Church, Church for Today's World. Find them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at New York Covenant or on the web at newyorkcovenant.com.
All right, we are back.
Yeah, back at it. Yes, indeed.
And we were just talking about love, and we referenced Paul said in Romans 5:5, that God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so, you know, really the importance here of God's love given to us by the Holy, through the Holy Spirit, is God's love in Christ Jesus. So we're not talking about any love.
Right.
Shout out to, you know, Luther Vandross. We're not looking for, I'm teasing, we're not looking for any love.
Right.
We're looking for, and we're talking about God's love in Christ Jesus. So it's for God so loved the world.
Right.
That love, that he gave his only begotten son. That's the love of God in Christ Jesus. Then it says that whosoever believeth on him will not perish. You know, I know you know the scripture, not you. Will do, but have everlasting life. So this love is the love of God in Christ Jesus that has been given to us through the Holy Spirit, that love, very specific love, and it is connected. It, this love has given us, via this love has given, it's what's been given to us is eternal life. So the love is connected to eternity.
Ooh. Let that sit right there for just a second.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's because asking us back up. Right. Go ahead.
I'll let you know. Go ahead. You go.
I was going to say he's really called us to see it as such that this love extends to and through eternity. And so the answer is an eternal solution and not a temporary solution. It's not a temporary, it's a temporary situation, but what God provides is an eternal solution here. And that's, so we're supposed to be living in an eternal state in our temporary situation.
Right.
Because we're supposed to live like we're going to live through eternity. Go ahead. Yeah.
Right, because that is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, right? To live out this love, right? And so there is a deeper commitment to the calling of to love, right? That it is God's love that we are living in relationship with one another with, right? And so, you know, even as we were on break just for a moment, to try to, you know, live out a spiritual gift without love is not living out a spiritual gift, right? It is to not, you know, like there is an eternal significance to the work that we're doing in God's name.
Right.
And so Paul is showing us
good,
even in chapter 13, of how much more that we need to grow. Like, so he mentions, you know, at one point, you know, when you were a child, you thought like a child, you acted like a child, but as you mature, right, this is maturing in this eternal love that's been imparted to you. And so it's the love that doesn't get caught up in, it's not the love that the world is portraying or these cultures or these influences are trying to put forth, but it's a love that penetrates through those things to point you, one, to Christ, and then to live like Christ through the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
He gives that example, right? If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm a resounding gong or a cymbal, a clanging cymbal, meaning I'm void, I'm empty. It's just noise, right? And so your action are just noise, or it's void of eternal significance, right? For you, but also eternal significance for the people you're introducing God to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so there's so much more to love than we can even, you know, fathom.
Right.
Because of its eternal significance.
Mm-hmm. And if we want people to think about it, if we want people to experience the kingdom of God
mm-hmm.
when they come into the body of Christ or when they're introduced to the body of Christ, Sunday, let's pick Sunday morning, anytime. But let's pick Sunday morning because that's the most prominent one, right?
If
we want people to experience the kingdom of God, then we have to, it makes sense that we are called to act and to live like the kingdom of God is present, because it is.
Present. Mm-hmm.
But to live that way is to mimic as much as possible, and I mean mimic in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
heaven.
Amen.
Eternity. And the way to do that is to love in a way that God calls us to love. And that's his love. It's so funny because, like, it's not funny. It is funny because when people talk about love, they talk about love, all this, that. I made a joke Sunday, you know, when Taraji Henson, that's her name, said,
Get a baby boy.
Baby boy. When he's talking about Tyrese. Yeah. He don't love me no more. Right?
Right.
That was the line for me. I had me rolling.
It did. I knew exactly where you were going.
That's temporary love. We're talking about, and I know they use the word agape here, and in the context of that agape love, it's of course agape love is selfless, altruistic love, and you can use it in a broader sense. But he's talking about in the context of this is God's love.
For us.
And that is a different love than how other people describe it. You know, people say, oh, God is love. You know, God loves everybody. You know, I don't understand this forgiveness, sin stuff. It doesn't really matter. All, you know, we're all going to a greater place. We just have to be, quote unquote, good people. That just totally takes away the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, as we were talking, and I'm reading verse 13, and, you know, and again, the internal significance of love, right? And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The word demonstration comes to mind, right? Because love is the God's love is demonstrated through our activity and our, it's how people get to, people experience, mm-hmm. have this encounter with,
mm-hmm.
with the presence of God, right? And we share our faith,
right.
We glorify God, we testify to the hope that we have, but
right.
The love becomes this living out of something that's been embedded in, and it's living inside of us, but also draws people into this internal significance that is to come, but also what is happening in that moment right then and now. Right, like it's in the, especially to a people who are divided, it is the unifying action and activity of the Holy Spirit through the people of God, bringing people into unity into a relationship with Christ, but also holding people into that greater love that was given to them, that grace with one another, right? And not that any of them, you know, faith and hope are not important. But when I think about the greatest, when Paul talks about the greatest of these is love, what's happening in its unification of the church, and then also the introduction to the kingdom reality, right, through the experiences of the believers, just it screams out to me is this is this demonstration of love, because it speaks to what Paul was talking about in the beginning. Christ, Jesus crucified, Christ crucified is the demonstration of love, right? We're called to live in that demonstration and live out that demonstration, right? I don't know. It rings out.
Yeah.
That the living out of our faith and our hope is demonstrated best and seen in the witness of love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Definitely. Definitely. The faith and the hope, right? Those are temporary, mm-hmm. right? So.
Right.
Right. They'll go. They'll end. Faith and hope will end, and love will be eternal.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Because he says it right there, right? You know, for now we see only a reflection of mirror, but then shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully. Oof.
As I am fully known. Yeah.
Amen.
That's a proof.
That day will come.
Oof. Right. When I'm I know fully as I am fully known. I'm already fully known by God. Then I will fully know. So it is really living in the reality that love is a solution now, and love will be is the solution forever. Right.
Right. Amen. That's it. It was the solution then, it's the solution now, and it's the solution to come.
Right. And that is something in and of itself, which is great. And you know, this other part that really gets me, that has so many layers to it. Mm-hmm. Christ's love exudes from the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's Christ's love. And we are called to be the body of Christ. And until the body is one,
mm-hmm.
it'll take for the body to be one body in right. order for the body to exude Christ's love.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds metaphorical, but it's literal too.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Yeah.
How does the body become one in order to exude greater? Here it is. By this all will know that you are my disciples. How, by what?
When you love each other.
Know that you, right, are my disciples if you have love one for another. Right. It is the love that is the witness of Christ in the world, but it's the love of God in Christ Jesus. So how do we as believers go from receiving Christ's love to exuding Christ's love, to living out Christ's love as one body? You can't live it out individually.
Right.
You lived out as one body, not one person.
Right.
The one person that could do that was Christ. We can't do love alone. We can't go to the cross alone.
Amen.
As we live out love in the world today, meaning that I'm not talking about going to the cross for help, going to the cross as servants, as a sacrifice for the world, as those who walk in the way of Christ, so that we are that witness. We have to do that together. We can't do it apart.
Right.
So that makes the religion different. We don't have this individualistic religion or belief system. It is one body. You have to be a part of a congregation in order to exude Christ's love.
In essence, then that helps understand the entirety of the letter, right? Of why Paul is addressing the divisions, the factions, the, you know, the importance of, you know, operating in this oneness that we're called to be, you know, as a functioning body, and unified in love, to God's glory. Yeah, no, it just made things, it makes it much more clearer now too, to understand, to see that, mm-hmm. right? This love is not the individual's experience. This is not, you know, I follow this, I do that, and you do this. No, this is about this unity found in this commitment to living out what God how God has called us to live.
Right. Amen.
Yeah, man. Amen. That's dope, man. That's dope.
Yeah,
another layer to the picture, man. I mean, we get, you know, you're always growing and you're always learning more. And so I always enjoy as we pick up, you know, these new techniques. So if anyone's been journeying with us for some time now, locating the letter, those things should now be part of your, you know, how you break down or how you come up with your framework, right? Locating the letter, isolating the issue, you know, analyzing the argument. Now, as you read, as you can almost pick up these things and see what's going on, and have a clearer lens as to how to grow deeper in the Word.
Amen. Yeah, man.
Another dope session. I appreciate
that. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Always good to chop it up, man.
Definitely, definitely. All right. So, well, we'll see you all y'all next time, or we'll hear us, and we'll see you next time. On Situations and Solutions. Y'all take care.
All right. Peace, everyone.
Peace.
If you like this episode, please subscribe to or follow our podcast. We'll be back at you next week with a new real life situation and an out of this world solution. Peace.